Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A 12-year-old boy drowns, then comes back to life. An elderly man survives a mobile home fire, and they're still overturning cars and breaking everything in the UK.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, cover your delicate areas, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, August 10th, 2011. A 12-year-old boy who spent as long as 20 minutes immersed in the Pacific Ocean surf before he was rescued has amazed his family and onlookers and news media all over this great metropolitan area. The boy's father, Chad Ostrander of Spanaway, Washington, told reporters yesterday, maybe there's a miracle that's happening here. Charles Dale Ostrander was visiting the Southwest Washington coast with members of his church group last Friday when he was caught in a riptide north of Long Beach. Doug Knutson, who is part of the volunteer surf rescue team, spotted the boy in the water. He carried Dale from the surf and handed him to medics, and he feared the worst. He told the Oregonian, "I've been doing this since 1978. It's something you never get used to, but I knew that the boy was gone."
Now, when they
absolutely
said that he was
gone
underwater for as much as 20 minutes, what does that mean?
That means they don't know. He was out there for 20 minutes. How much of that time he spent, like, you know, breathing liquid, they don't know.
So that's like saying if I duck out of the room for 5 minutes, I could have been on the moon for as much as 5 minutes.
Exactly,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right,
yes.
Just checking.
There was a photographer from the Chinook Observer newspaper who had responded to the beach rescue. He recorded the incident on videotape, said people were crying. They were face down on the ground. They were praying. It was, after all, a youth group. Medics started CPR. Dale was taken to a nearby hospital, and his pulse actually returned.
Doesn't this happen in every episode of MASH?
Yes.
Where Hawkeye just goes, like, live, damn it! And then the guy goes,
Grey's Anatomy as well, I believe. That happens all of the time.
Don't let the bastard win!
He was flown to Southwest Washington from the Southwest Washington coast to OHSU Dornbecker Children's Hospital. On Sunday night, he opened his eyes as he was eased off of sedatives. On Monday, he said a handful of words to his parents. Basically, they were encouraging him to cough to clear his throat, and he said, "I don't have to."
Well, that is a miracle.
I think that if you almost die and then they save you, you do earn the right to just go, shut up. I don't have to cough for you.
I'm not your monkey.
You're not the boss of me anymore. I'm immortal.
We should totally, what's his name?
Dale Ostrander.
How old is he?
12.
Okay, we should totally hail him as a deity and a savior.
We should.
And just start telling him he doesn't have to pay attention
Ostrander.
To anything anybody tells him to do anymore. He can disregard his teachers, parents, authority figures. He is our new God.
He is unkillable. He's like Dennis Quaid in that movie, or whoever was in
you
that
are
movie.
Impervious, sir. There's nothing that can harm you.
The physicians were very clear that he had been under the water for too long without oxygen. His mother is, of course, saying they're trusting in God. If God chooses to take Dale to heaven, and if he still chooses that, then he's still good. And if he chooses to bless us and give us back our son, he's still good.
Clearly God has made up his mind, though.
God decided that little Dale Ostrander is
he's immortal.
He's nigh invulnerable.
Dale can't be harmed by anything, not even a nail gun.
That's right. I think, and I believe that we should do everything we can when he gets out of the hospital to test this.
No, see, now you're saying that. See, that's Rick Emerson wouldn't go that far. That's not a thing that Rick Emerson would say.
I want him to be like the invulnerable cheerleader on Heroes and just start jumping off stuff and videotaping himself going, see, I can't be killed.
Just be like the mayor of Sunnydale. Just, you know, just hand healing up in front of everybody. That's fantastic. Somebody says, this just in, religious nutcases interpret science as God.
Well, yes.
Okay.
I always like the fact that people who really are really that religious, it doesn't matter what happens. It's, you know,
God's will.
God's will. And God's will is somehow like a good thing.
Meant for it to be happening.
I'm sure he told you the story. I worked with a woman in a newspaper who was a young woman. She was like, I think about 20. And she was really super, super, super religious. And she kept trying to explain Christianity to me and try and, you know, convert me from my heathen ways. And she was talking to me once about this guy. He lived here in Portland and he was in this horrible, horrible fire and it almost killed him. And he was completely burned, like all over his body and disfigured horribly and had to live in a wheelchair. But his fiancée didn't leave him. She married him anyway. And the community rallied around him and collected money for his medical things. And they even got enough money to buy a house. And now he has love and a home and happiness. And that was God doing that. And I looked at her and I said, but if it's all God's will, then isn't God the one who set him on fire in the first place?
Well, maybe God felt he had too much hubris. Maybe God felt there was a little too much spring in his step. He wasn't valuing each day as he ought to, Don.
It seems if you're gonna give God credit for one thing, you ought to give God credit for the bad stuff too.
Seems like you're not taking your lips seriously enough.
You don't need eyelids.
Taking them for granted. Let's make you appreciate your skin a little more, shall we? All right. We should end the hour with this as well. What is his name? Dale Ostrich?
Dale Ostrander.
Ostrander. How do you get Dale from Jack or whatever
his
first name is?
His first name is Charles.
Well, whatever.
I'll bet because somebody started calling him Chip, and then they said, no, that was stupid, but we'll call him Dale instead.
That's just retarded enough to make sense, actually. Hey, can you name the two gophers in the Warner Brothers cartoons?
No.
Really?
No. Oh, sorry.
Oh, fine.
I whatever. Don't know everything.
That's how we know you are not a deity,
yeah,
Don.
Why not?
Oh. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm.
I'm no Charles Xavier, let me tell you.
No, that's true. Thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, yes? Yes, August 10th, 2011. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can also get it on your mobile device if you like. That's mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
An elderly man suffered severe burns Wednesday morning in a mobile home fire in the 3500 block of Southeast Concord Road in Milwaukee. God did it. An invalid, he had crawled from the bedroom to the living room where firefighters found him and dragged him outside. This according to Clackamas Fire District 1 spokesman Steve McAdoo. A neighbor said she heard the man hollering when the fire started around 5:40 a.m. This, I believe, by the way, I got this story from KGW. Hollering is not in quotation marks, by the way. Whoever wrote the news story seriously wrote, a neighbor said she heard the man hollering.
That was
when the fire started around 5:40 a.m.
So in their mental lexicon, that was the word that KGW went to. They said,
yes.
How shall I best describe the bellow that was emanating from the man?
It was hollering.
Sort of a shriek, a shout, sort of a whinny. No, it was a holler.
Let me check the AP style guide to make sure that I'm spelling holler correctly.
Did they end it with an N pronounced and then an apostrophe?
No, they used it. Well, it's a G because this is a serious news story.
Oh, it's the formal usage.
Right. This was written by an actual journalist.
Right, of course.
There were fears that his wife might also be in the home, and several ambulances were dispatched. Firefighters learned that she had left for a dialysis treatment at a hospital. The man was taken to the Legacy Emanuel Burn Center. The couple was familiar to fire crews, McAdoo said. Both were in poor health and called 911 several times a month for medical issues.
Or just to chat. Just to talk about the fluffy cumulus clouds that were outside the window.
Or they can't get a tape out of their Betamax machine.
Who'd you say was living in the home?
In the home, the mobile home.
Yes, who was there?
An elderly man and his wife, who had gone off for a dialysis treatment.
Was one of them an invalid?
Yes, he was an invalid.
That explains this comment, then. And I agree with this, by the way. I'm going to add this to my repertoire right now, in a nomenclatural sense. It says, we need to stop pronouncing invalid as invalid and start pronouncing it invalid. It's meaner and funnier. No, you're right. I'm totally on that. I'm going to do that as of today. That's going to join eBay. All right. You're listening to Legion of News. Here is Don Taylor.
So the police is... Do I have sound files, by the way, yet? From you? Via you?
What do you mean?
Audio?
They're in the Dropbox.
Okay. They weren't when I looked last, but I'll look again.
Been there for like half an hour.
No, they have not.
They were there before I left my house.
Well, they...
Windows.
They're not there. Could you print them out for me? They are not in the Dropbox.
They are.
No, they're not.
They are.
They're not.
Let's see if I can find them.
Thank you.
Dropbox. There they are. Maybe I'll print them. Okay. Hold
on. Thank you so much.
Let me print these sound files that are in the Dropbox. No. Don't get up. I'll do it myself.
Not in mine. Not right here.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, I'll read a story that won't have any sound attached.
I have all the files in my Dropbox over here. That's amazing.
Well, and I don't. It's a fault on one end, yours or mine.
It's hard to believe that Bill Gates would be screwing you that way, Don. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Oh, it couldn't possibly be the Apple end of the equation.
I got everything here. Everything's showing up fine on my end. Look, don't externalize your frustrations over incorrect equipment design on me, sister.
You know, a mere 10 minutes ago, I was saying, hey, I sent you some sound files. You're going, I don't see them. They're not in here. And then they showed up eventually.
My computer was turned off at the moment. Don't be persnickety. Here's Don Taylor.
East Toledo, Ohio neighbors are stunned by the tragic and bizarre death of 62-year-old Sheila DeCoster, who suffocated after falling headfirst into her city-issued recycling bin. Lucas County Deputy Coroner Diane Barnett told The Blade newspaper she's never seen a case like it. The coroner says because of DeCoster's position in the container, she was not able to breathe properly. The tragedy happened Friday night at their home in the 2000 block of Caledonia. Robert DeCoster said he returned home from work around 5 p.m. and did not see Sheila DeCoster's legs sticking out of the recycling bin.
By her position, she means face down in a garbage heap.
Yeah, head first down in a recycling bin.
When you say a recycling bin, I think most people imagine that blue thing that's in the kitchen, like at the break room at their work where people put typing paper. What are you talking about here when you say recycle bin? Are we talking about a dumpster?
I think they're, because it says both the trash and recycling containers were on the ground next to the raised porch. Like, at my house, I have a green trash can and a blue trash can that both go out to the curb. They're both the same size, but the blue one is for recycling.
How would you fall into that?
Well,
it's like chest high.
It said that it's on the ground next to a raised porch, so she may have been, like, leaning over the porch railing or something like that and just went, boom. Head down into the...
Suddenly God decided to hit the smite button.
Exactly.
Except he wasn't sure if he might need her later, so he didn't erase her. He just put her in the recycle bin.
Yeah.
Okay.
She,
of life.
Well, really, when you come down to it, we're all recyclable.
Well, that is true.
When he did see her, DeCoster said he ran over and shook her leg and called out her name, but he knew she was already gone. He says he kept the containers in that place facing the road to make it easier to get the large bins to the curb. He says Sheila had a bad back and also a knee replacement surgery.
And also was kind of a crank anyway, so I mean...
And apparently kind of clumsy.
Honestly.
So.
Yeah. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program is coming up next hour. Yes, you heard me correctly. Next hour, a little bit over an hour from now, about 1:20-ish. Today, Geek Watch, and then it just says... Penis corpse.
Penis slash corpse.
So what does that mean exactly?
It is a story that has elements of both the penis and the corpse.
It's the best of both worlds. It's like that Kanye and Jay-Z album.
Yes.
It's like both of your favorite things, and they're mixed together as one. They are as... They've been merged. They've been conflated into a brand new thing that you didn't previously have.
It's like the hip-hop version of Walk This Way.
That's exactly what it is, Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. I just sent you that news to your email.
Oh, to my email.
Just now. I just emailed that to you. That way you've at least got it in front of you one way.
Email.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So forth. So that's at rickemersonshow.com, where you can listen for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. That is rickemersonshow.com. Also, Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week will be joining us. We'll be talking to him about all that is going on in the fine city of Portland, the great county of Multnomah, and the world beyond. Here's Dawn Taylor, who's wearing... It's not a leopard print shirt you're wearing.
No, it's not. No, it's just sort of a 1950s, early 60s, I think, homage, kind of a brown and white patterned shirt. I rarely wear anything that has patterns, so I, you know.
I like it. You're looking very cocktail-y.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right, here is Dawn Taylor.
Seven women have accused, an accused an anesthesiologist from the Dalles of sex crimes, and investigators say they believe there may be even more victims. In a story first reported on Oregon Live, Dr. Frederick George Field was charged with rape and felony sexual abuse Monday in an arraignment. He was indicted by the Wasco County Grand Jury last week and accused of sexually abusing two patients. Then on Tuesday, police said five more women had come forward saying that they too were victims. One of the women was a hospital employee. Investigators said Field took advantage of the women while they were under anesthesia. He has worked at Mid-Columbia Medical Center in the Dalles for 5 years.
Well, if you ask women like that, they just say no. I mean, and really, and then it's just, you know.
And you got the anesthesia.
Seriously.
I mean, you work with what you've got. Field pleaded not guilty to the charges and is being held on more than $1 million of bond. The state medical board suspended his license as the investigation continues. Until now, the board lists no disciplinary actions or malpractice claims. A call for comment Tuesday by the Associated Press to his lawyer was surprisingly not returned.
They should tell him that, you know, he can either take the prison sentence or he can take whatever they're going to do to him behind door number one while he's under for like 12 minutes. Just say, look, we can either stick in the clink for like 15 years or we're just going to put you completely and totally under using your own anesthetic for 12 minutes and you just got to accept whatever it is we do to you.
Yeah, now, well, and the seven ladies can come and...
But it should be kind of a game, though. But I mean, you know, like there should be a rotating wheel of things that they spin once he's under. And it's like one of those things might be like gently tickle his feet. One of them might be yank out his teeth with pliers. And then like in the middle somewhere might be just give him just a little slapping, little cuffing. But then also set his hair on fire.
Yeah. Jam an ice pick into his ear.
Give him $100, you know. But it's like he has to take whatever the wheel lands on.
And then when he wakes up, is like, you know, his underwear is around his ankles, but he has a fistful of $100 bills. He's like bleeding from one nostril.
I have a dull stabbing ache in my backside. I don't know what's up with that. This is really how we could fix the stupid broken economy. We should just offer all criminals this deal. But then the way we make money is that we then charge people to watch, the spinning of the wheel and the administering of the prize and or punishment. I'm just saying, it'd be like that Howie Mandel thing, but with fewer suitcases.
Yes, and pain.
That.
Yeah. Congressional leaders have named 9 of the 12 lawmakers who will make up the super committee tasked with finding more than $1 trillion in spending cuts by the end of the year. House Speaker John Boehner said Wednesday that he was tapping Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp, Energy and Commerce Chairman.
He's tapping that?
He's tapping it.
Uh-huh.
Energy and Commerce Chairman Fred Upton and Republican Conference Chairman Jeb Hensarling to represent the House GOP on the panel. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell also announced his picks Wednesday morning. John Kyle, Pat Toomey, and Rob Portman. On Tuesday, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid filled out his side of the roster by naming Patty Murray, John Kerry, and Max Baucus to the committee. Murray will co-chair the panel for the Democrats. Nancy Pelosi has yet to name the 3 House Democrats who will fill out the final 3 spots. John Avalon, columnist for Newsweek and The Daily Beast, warns that the members are so staunchly partisan that a deadlock is most likely going to be the result.
Is this debt?
Yes.
What message does that send? It sends precisely the message that the base wants to hear, which is that this is just going to be more business as usual. This is being set up to fail, and we're going to see more political prowess, I'm afraid.
I like the idea that we're actually quoting a place called The Daily Beast, which is just sort of awesome. You know, the idea that the he of the cloven hoof, the great I am, the beast with 1,000 eyes, had this to say.
I like, though, that that's the way our government now operates. Like, we haven't been able to reach a conclusion on this for so long that it finally came down to the 11th hour before anything was done. Now we have to actually do it. What's the best way to handle this? What's the best way? Let's have an equal number of Democrats and Republicans on one committee. And they can agree on it.
Fantastic.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll work. Avalon is appalled that the committee members are some of the most staunchly partisan politicians on Capitol Hill.
Really? Is he also appalled to find that there's gambling in this establishment?
But raises the question of how stupid congressional leaders think we are. They think we won't notice that they are actively punishing the folks who've taken the risk to reach across the aisle and propose solutions. And instead, they're picking people who are clear party line partisan votes.
Well, that's just inaccurate, though. They're not actively punishing people. The punishing people is just sort of an amusing ancillary effect. Really, the only people they're actively doing anything to are like people that they have to run against next election. You know, we're just collateral damage. I think he's overstating our importance to politicians. I don't think politicians wake up in the morning thinking about us at all. Good, bad, not at all.
No,
not in any way.
No, not at all. Could you hand me those pages now?
Do we have a guy named Baucus in this story somewhere?
Well, B-A-U-C-U-S.
It's impossible to get that guy to do anything. He's just drunk all the time, playing a pan flute.
No one wants to be his intern.
That's right.
No one.
Well, or everyone, depending. Woo. All right, there we go.
Best parties on the Hill.
Seriously. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Is it the rickemersonshow.com, et cetera, et cetera, so on, so forth. Yes, that's that.
There is it?
It is. That's that.
Okay. The back-to-school shopping season is underway.
Parents be shopping.
Allison Kenny Paul with the accounting firm Deloitte, I guess, or Deloitte, or I have no idea how you pronounce it. They say their recent survey finds Americans plan to spend just a little more money on clothes and school supplies this year.
86% of consumers told us that they'll spend the same or more as last year, which is up from about 83% a year ago. So a little bit of optimism.
I have perfunctory sex 3 times a week.
Paul says it's no surprise that a majority will be searching for price information.
But a really significant number said they would also be doing things like downloading discounts or coupons, viewing retailers' ads online, looking for store locations.
I believe the pronunciation she's looking for is coupons.
So what she's saying then is that it's time for back-to-school shopping and that people will therefore be shopping.
Is that what she said? I wasn't really listening.
She basically, yeah.
Let's see what
she... But a really significant number said they would also be doing things like downloading discounts or coupons, viewing retailers' ads online, looking for store locations.
By God, you're right. People are going to be shopping this back-to-school season, Dawn.
Yes.
I'm so glad I downloaded that dramatic sting. That's like the best thing I've done in like a month. That's wonderful. It's even better than the stereotypical Chinese music.
Well, it's kind of
pretty great. I mean, in
there's
and
so
of
many
itself.
More things you can use the dramatic sting for.
It's true.
Portland's Portugal the Man wants you to be on the lookout for their stolen gear after the van and trailer were recovered completely empty in Chicago.
That's just a dick move. When they leave, when you let, at least have the decency to hide the van and the trailer so you're not taunting them.
The van and trailer were in an intended parking lot near Chicago's Grant Park. Were stolen on Sunday night after they finished their set at Lollapalooza, and the van and the trailer were recovered empty. Singer John Gurley said, "It's not so much the gear as much as what we would done with it and where it's been with us, and it would be have been cool stuff to give to our kids and to just have around." All in all, around $50,000 in instruments and vintage equipment were stolen. Their bass player, Zach Carruthers, says, "One act of theft, and we really can't do anything right now."
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not like a big, you know, I'm not a guy who's like a real musician or anything, but I mean, I think the idea that you can just somehow go down to the corner store, as Ryan White said, and just, stop by Guitar Center and pick up another guitar and go and, recreate your sound and, and go to work on whatever you were working on before a tour, it just doesn't really work that way. I mean, so, and the fact that they found the truck, that is just like the unkindest cut of all, though, because that implies that somebody either knew what they were stealing or didn't but stole it and then discovered at some point, hey, my God, this is... We stole this from a... We could get a lot of stuff for this. And then they just took everything with them and just left the vehicle behind.
Yeah.
So now... And so now the hope of finding all of that stuff, like, in one place is essentially gone. That's the worst part about it. It's just... It's been scattered all over hither and yon. God damn. Seriously, that's a group of people. Whoever stole that just ought to be killed. Ought to be killed slowly and painfully.
Well, let's follow that then. Let's bring things up a little with a happy animal story.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to go to a happy killing story.
No, not yet.
Okay.
This will be a happy animal.
Is your happy animal news for Wednesday right here at... Wow.
Okay.
The animals can't be held back. Here for Wednesday the 10th at Legion of News.
Because of a collaborative effort between officials at two Northwest zoos, a group of endangered turtles will have a better chance of surviving their first few years in the wild. Officials at the Oregon Zoo have been taking care of 9 Western Pond turtles since they were rescued from the wild 11 months ago. Biologists track female Western Pond turtles and monitor them during the nesting season. They recover the turtles' offspring after they hatch in protective nests in the fall. Wildlife officials said the hatchlings are among the main prey for largemouth bass and the non-indigenous bullfrog, which have nearly wiped out the Western Pond turtle population. Zoo officials take care of the turtles using heat lamps and feed them throughout the winter. Once the turtles reach about 70 grams, they are released back into the wild. Zoo officials say by the time the rescued turtles are ready for release, they are about as big as what a 3-year-old turtle would be in the wild. The Oregon Zoo released the 9 turtles back to a site along the Columbia River Gorge on August 9th. Workers have been caring for the turtles as part of the Western Pond Turtle Recovery Plan, a collaborative effort between the zoos, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and Bonneville Power Administration. Officials estimate the program has a 95% success rate.
And so what is it? Why are the turtles all dying? What is their...
Well, because when they're the hatchlings, the tiny little baby turtles, when they're
hatchlings.
Born, they're like perfect food for largemouth bass and bullfrogs, which are non-indigenous. So the bullfrogs are just like eating everything up.
So you're saying it's an immigrant problem?
It is. It's because of those damn immigrant bullfrogs.
Frogs are coming here and
they're taking our jobs.
Taking the food that really ought to belong to the things that were here earlier.
That's right.
Creatures that were already that had already stolen this land fair and square.
They're sneaking across our borders and taking our pond turtles.
There we go. There's your happy animal news, or possibly not, for Wednesday, August 10th, 2011, here at Legion of News. Don't forget, you can get this later on today via iTunes if you would like, or you can take it with you on your mobile device. If you have to leave the house, you have to leave your work. If you're on the run from the man, maybe, but you don't want to miss out on a moment's worth of entertainment. I myself actually had to go somewhere yesterday. I was sort of between shows, and I was gone from here, had to go down the street, had to come back. And you know what? Took my magical iPhone with me and carried the broadcast the entire way. Walked back into the studio, turned the iPhone off, bam, broadcast just stayed with me the entire time. I didn't have to go without it for even a second, Don.
So you listened to your own feed,
yes,
while you went up the street to get like a Vizo or whatever.
Yes, and then at slack moments, I stared at myself in the mirror.
Wow.
And smiled. Smiled the broadest smile you can imagine.
Well, you are very proud of yourself.
It's true.
You are. Let's do science news.
Also pretty. Don't forget
yeah,
pretty.
Yeah, you are pretty, pretty, pretty.
Here's your science news for Wednesday, August 10th. This is brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. You can also find them online at facebook.com/squireselectric. While you're there, please hit the like button. Pay special attention or not to the story of one Mr. Aaron Duran, who talked about Squires Electric coming to his condo. And really, everything else in the joint just falling apart, except for the stuff that Squires Electric handled. We've also had listeners who bought... there's a listener named John, I believe his name is, who bought a building on Belmont, turned it into a gym. But, of course, it had been like, I don't know, like a pie house or something before that. So you had to gut the entire thing out. It won't stand. You really can't...
That's the opposite of what you need.
Your pie wiring and your Pilates wiring, not at all the same thing. Just because they both start with pie doesn't mean that they work. And they're not interchangeable. So he had to have the entire building rewired. They came out. They did it. Bam. Done. And, you know, they'll give you an estimate up front so you know that you're not going to go, broke having it taken care of. So you contact them at 503-252-1609. Please tell them you heard us here mishandling science in their name, won't you? Squires Electric.
A mysterious orange substance washed ashore along the Arctic coast of Kivalina.
Cloverfield 2.
Kivalina, Alaska. Cloverfield 2.
Oh.
And inundated the small Inupiat, some Eskimo village. One of those Eskimos.
Now, is that the way we treat indigenous cultures to hear done? You're not a bullfrog, are you?
Yes. Well, we don't have any insulting Eskimo music to play behind this.
Okay. Well, I could find some, A. Also, let's see. Hold on. Let me just see if I could find some... let's see if I can find some insulting Eskimos. But in the meantime, I was just saying, are we not going to give it at least a second attempt on the name?
Washed ashore along the Arctic coast of Kivalina, Alaska, and inundated the small Inupiat Eskimo village last week. In areas where the sun dried the material, winds scattered it as a thin orange dust, giving the first impression that it was a type of pollen. Found several miles inland in the freshwater Woolick River, the orange material turned gooey and gave off a gaseous odor. But scooped out of the ocean, the substance had no odor and was light to the touch with the feel of baby oil, relayed Janet Mitchell, city administrator for Kivalina. After the high tide washed the orange material away, the town learned that it might also have been toxic, as several small minnows died during the event. Whether it is indeed toxic or had an effect on the oxygen content in the water was undetermined. While samples of the substance were sent to the Alaska Fishery Science Center in Juneau, as seen under a microscope, the bead-like shape and cellular structure gave a clue as to what the orange material might be. It was a spawn of tiny eggs. But the marine biologists ruled out dead minnows as the moms. We've determined that these are small invertebrate eggs, although we cannot tell which species. Cloverfield. We now think that these are some sort of small crustacean egg or embryo with a lipid oil droplet in the middle causing the orange color. Julie Spiegel, a spokesperson for the Juno lab, says that they've sent samples to a South Carolina lab that specializes in phytoplankton. And she says, we are sitting on the edge of our seats waiting to know.
Okay.
That's what she said.
How about this? We'll try this again.
That's not good science.
It's Eskimo throat music.
Oh.
There you go. It's culturally and scientifically accurate, Dawn.
Oh.
What is the tribe of Eskimo you were referring to?
The Inupiat.
Okay, this is again their this is their particular method of communication. Science. All right.
Is she coughing or crying at the end?
I don't really
there?
Know. Yeah. Listen to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. This is your Science on the March, as if you couldn't tell.
In what is surely to elicit sighs of relief from millions of people who suffer from lower back and neck pain, a more permanent solution in spinal disc implants has arrived. Engineers at Cornell University and doctors at Cornell Medical College have developed living, quote-unquote, artificial discs that outperform current implants used in discectomies, a surgery where damaged spinal discs are removed. Current disc implants are made from a combination of metal and plastic and often deteriorate over time. The new artificial discs are made out of two polymers, collagen, which wraps around the outside of the disc like a tire, and a hydrogel called alginate in the middle that helps it bear weight just like real discs.
I want to have my spinal column replaced with discs of Tron. That'd be the best kind of disc to have in your back.
The clincher, however, is that...
Do you hate coming to work every day?
No, I love... This is the only place I'm happy.
Okay. Would this be... That's so sad. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard. Okay.
I saw Donna this morning, and she said, you're here bright and early? And I said, yeah. She said, oh, because you've been coming in and working a lot lately, coming in the morning. I said, well... It's a lot less complicated here than it is in the rest of my life.
The rest of my life is a hellish existence.
And then as she was leaving, she stopped and looked at me really serious. She said, don't work too hard. It'll make you old.
Okay.
So the Cornell researchers planted cells in the new implants that germinate new tissue. So the artificial discs that go into your back have cells in them that grow new tissues.
Okay.
Due to the growth of the cells, the team found the new implants got better as they matured in the body.
Yeah, that's creepy. I don't really want to think about that. That's a story I could do without. I mean, why do they, you know, I don't think I think I speak for almost everyone when I say that I want stuff germinating in me.
No.
Seems like it's going to end badly.
Breathing irregularities that rob the brain of oxygen during sleep may imperil a person's ability to think straight.
Are we talking apnea?
Yes, indeed. A study of women 65 and older finds that those with seriously disordered breathing have an increased risk of developing mild cognitive impairment or dementia in subsequent years. This was reported in the August 10th Journal of the American Medical Association. Individuals with disordered breathing slow down or stop taking breaths during sleep and often must gasp to catch up. The condition includes sleep apnea, an abnormal pattern that deprives the brain of oxygen and intermittently interrupts the deep sleep needed for satisfying rest. Earlier short-term studies linked disordered breathing to cognitive impairment, citing hypoxia, a lack of oxygen, as the culprit, but long-term data has been lacking. In the new study from the University of California in San Francisco, they tested 298 women, average age 82, from 2002 to 2004 for sleep problems, monitoring them overnight and noticing stoppages in airflow in their breathing. About one-third of the patients had disordered breathing. None of these women were cognitively impaired at the time of the sleep test. After the test, patients were given their scores and told if they showed signs of severe sleep problems. Anyway, when researchers repeated standard cognition tests on the women roughly 5 years later, 45% of those who had disordered breathing had developed dementia or milder cognitive impairments.
Well, it's basically like you're just spending a few minutes every night under, you know, the bottom of a lake.
Yeah. Plus, you're also older at this point. They were actually looking at women whose average age was 82, so they're already older, and then their brain isn't getting as much oxygen while they're sleeping. So, yeah, only 31% with no breathing irregular, with no apnea, had dementia later.
Lara's dad does that, and it's weird, too, because you'll just be sitting, because he's an old guy, and so he just falls asleep a lot. And plus, the other thing is, like, he's in a wheelchair, so it's not like there's no real, like, shift. Like, it's not like he settles into napping position or, like, gets up and stretches out on the couch so you know he's going to get 40 winks. Like, he just falls asleep in exactly the same place where he spends most of the day. And you'll be sitting there reading a book or something, and all of a sudden you hear this across the room, and you're like, what the hell? You know, and it's because he's just stopped breathing for a minute and a half. And then suddenly in the back of his brain there's a klaxon, you know, like sort of a go-go alert, you know, and it... And then it jolts him to, like, take a breath.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah. He also has to have that thing done where Maximus Mole goes in and, like, bores out his nasal cavities with a drill or something. Because you get that, what is that thing you get in your nose where it's like, you get, like, it's like polyps or something.
Oh.
But it's
okay.
Your nostrils just go to, like, a pinhole inside because they get all, you know.
Oh.
I think the word is gunked. And so then they got to drill the inside of your nose.
Yet another reason to use the neti pot.
Seriously. That's just
Keep your sinuses clean.
Yeah.
Researchers in Peru said Tuesday they have discovered the remains of ancient insects and sunflower seeds trapped inside amber dating from the Miocene epoch, some 23 million years ago. This rare find was made in a remote mountainous jungle region near Peru's northern border with Ecuador. This via paleontologist Klaus Hanninger. Hanninger said in a telephone interview with the Associated Press, "These new discoveries are very important because the insects and sunflower seeds confirm the type of climate that existed during the Miocene period." The paleontologist discovered hundreds of pieces of amber, up to 5 inches large, containing several types of insects. The insects trapped in the amber, which is fossilized tree resin, are extremely well-preserved and include ancient beetles, bark lice, flies, and spiders. Hanninger is director of the Ciclayo-based Meyer Hanninger Paleontology Museum, and that the experts discovered an unknown species of arachnid with a head like a dog and legs 4 times longer than the body.
Don't ever say that again. Don't ever say that again. I don't care how true it is. I don't care if there are photos. I don't care if there's one outside the door. Don't talk about that creature ever again. No one wants to hear that. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear it this time.
Can I repeat this one more time because it's the best thing ever? I'm sorry.
All right, fine. Hold on a second.
Just don't listen because I have to say this.
I'm going to block it out with the sound of some Inuit throat singing. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me just...
They discovered an unknown species of arachnid with a head like a dog and legs 4 times longer than the body.
All right, there you go. You done talking about that now?
Yes, but I'm not done thinking about it.
Okay, but let me ask you this. I regret even posing this question to you, but what do you mean it has a head like a dog?
I'm just reading what it says. That's all it says right there. I'm more intrigued than you are because now I want to see it. I want to know how that's possible.
Here's the thing. Just so everybody's aware of this right now, I'm not going to be opening any email for the rest of the day. It doesn't matter. I don't care what the subject line is. I don't care what sort of provocative and tantalizing attachment may come with it. Doesn't matter. You are not going to get me to open a single email from now until I would say at least 24 hours from now. So just save yourself the time, friend. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Do we have more science? Or are we at the end of? Are we going on that story?
I'm ended on that.
All right, there we go. There's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find them at SquiresElectric.com or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. You can also call them at 503-252-1609. And in case you're wondering, yes, Dawn does hold in her hand right now a Nazi clown puppet.
Yes, a wooden Nazi clown puppet wearing lederhosen.
That's from our friend Kara, who brought that back from the fatherland for you.
And when you pull the little string, its legs and arms go up and down. It's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. And awesome.
Okay. The Rick Emerson radio program is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week, also Geek Watch and a penis slash corpse watch. And it's all coming up next hour. Here he is, Don Taylor.
While restrooms traditionally are known as places to relieve oneself or freshen up, a 22-year-old man may have pioneered an alternative lavatory use, according to a recently released arrest report. A loss prevention officer at the Walmart Supercenter in Vero Beach, Florida, stated on August 7th that Taylor Alendrizia was eating food on the bathroom floor. Drizia's apparent picnic in the bathroom blocked the commode for the patrons, and a store manager asked him to leave. Also, by the way, one of the most delightful mugshots ever.
Is there a mugshot for
there
this?
There is a mugshot for this fellow.
That's wonderful.
After a few minutes, Drizia left and then returned in another entrance, yelling that an employee stole something from his backpack while he was in the bathroom, according to the affidavit. Drizia, who ultimately was arrested by an Indian River County Sheriff's deputy, was described as argumentative. He was also accused of yelling during the incident at the store. The affidavit didn't state whether Drizia was in the men's or ladies' room, nor was it clear what it was he was eating. The incident happened at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. A deputy told Drizia to leave immediately. Drizia said he wasn't leaving, and then he wanted to write something down. The affidavit states, "I then advised Drizia not to play games and exit the store now."
What is the guy's full name?
Taylor Alendrizia.
Okay, all right.
Then he again refused. Deputies got Drizia listed as homeless out of the store, arresting him on misdemeanor charges of trespassing after warning and resisting an officer without violence.
Good God Almighty.
And it's a marvelous, I like a mugshot where they're having to forcibly hold his head up.
Yeah, this is the one that's titled Peter Nick something or other.
Yeah, I don't know why it's.
He looks all Charles Manson-y.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the photographer's
he
name
really
that
is,
ended up there.
He looks unbelievably, A, stoned, or just like if you were to open his head, would just be sort of a can of peas
inside. Oh, actually,
inside.
No, that's a completely different. I'm wrong. I had the wrong
mugshot.
The wrong mugshot.
Okay, because this guy is also pretty great looking.
Yeah, this guy, and I will just read this story now because we were talking about this mugshot. This is an awesome mugshot of this guy who is having to have his head forcibly held upright and practically needs toothpicks in his eyelids to keep his eyes open. This is a fellow who was arrested in Redding, California on suspicion of burglary after police officers found him inside a home on Monday night. There was a burglar alarm that went off at 11:18 p.m. When they arrived, they found this guy, Nick Peternick, collecting items inside. The owner of the home then showed up and said no one was supposed to be there. Peternick would not comply with officers' orders to come outside, so a canine named Vermut apprehended him. And by apprehended him, I mean probably like bit him.
Like bit him in the junk.
Knocked him down, yeah. Peternick was taken to a medical center for medical clearance after the dog bite and then booked into the jail where he is staying in lieu of bail. And yeah, he's a big creep.
You know, back to the guy who was eating on the floor of the Walmart bathroom. When you say eating food on the floor of the Walmart bathroom, do we think like he... Like, it wasn't like he had a picnic cloth spread out or something.
I don't... They made it sound like he was, so I'm not sure. It honestly made it sound like he was just sitting on the floor and had his repast spread out around him.
But, know? I mean, it wasn't... Like, he wasn't using, like, the tile floor as a plate or something, one
No,
hopes.
I don't think so. Okay. I think he was just...
Can you imagine the stench, like, what the funk in a Walmart bathroom, like, in the middle of summer is? I mean, it really... I have to say that, I mean, as easy as it is to sort of pick on places that have bathrooms that just sort of reek or disrepair, I mean, that's a difficult job. It's not easy, I would imagine, to keep a bathroom in a high-traffic business or area clean, much less astonishingly clean, because occasionally you'll go into a business and it's like the bathroom is really, is really just sparkling and it smells fresh and there's just, and it's like you go, this, and you actually notice this. You go, my God, what a well-tended bathroom this is. This bathroom is fantastic. I don't ever want to leave. That really is, I mean, that's a Herculean task. It is, because... In fact, one might even call that a Sisyphean task, because as soon as you... It literally, I mean, by definition, a bathroom is a place where as soon as you get something sparkling clean, a guy comes in and just whizzes all over it. Hey, did you just clean that? Hold on, let me pee on it. You know, I mean, that's a thankless job.
Yeah, the places they seem to do the best job of that, I think, are at big movie theater chains and at, like, Target. And those are the kinds of places where you walk in and you can actually see the sticker on the wall.
Right.
Where there's somebody has to come in like every 20 minutes and sign off on the fact that they actually cleaned something.
And then the opposite end of the spectrum is any place...
they're being cleaned like every half an hour,
but
tops.
See, but I'm okay with that. And I'm also okay with a bathroom that just... Like if they have one of those like auto clean, like... places. And even if it just said, like, if it gave you, like, an audible 3-minute warning, like, in 3 minutes, the doors will shut and you will be power scrubbed. I mean, you are going to be, you're going to be given, like, a forceful scrubbing like you've never received in your life. I'd be okay with that if the upshot was the bathroom was always clean. Because then you just get those places where it's got, like, the big rolly cloth towel that comes out of the thing. And it's like, you don't want to touch. You're talking about a place where you don't. I mean, that's an irony, too, because those places, you don't ever want to touch the towel. If it's just that big spool of towel that comes out of the thing, yeah. It's like you don't ever want to put your hands anywhere near that.
Most places don't actually use those anymore, but those are kind of horrifying.
My father's place still has that.
Oh.
Except here's the best part about it is it's actually broken. It doesn't advance the last it was there. It was just like you pull on it and it goes, and it doesn't. So then you just got the same, like,
oh my God,
the same square foot of towel.
No.
For like an entire business night. You know, there as just, you know, every just.
And that's assuming that they actually change it out ever.
Or that anybody, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I go there too. I mean, it's like I'm there along with all the kids. But it's like every dirt ass biker at the bar just goes in there and goes, well, the towel isn't working. Well, such are the vagaries of life. And then he washes it and then like never tells anybody. And so then yeah. I go in there and there's just like this cloth square that is just like progressively blacker as you get towards the center of it. And then you just think to yourself, I guess it's another wiping my hands on my pants day. And then you walk out with big wet handprints on your crotch.
The Walmart guy, I put his his mugshot in there as well. So
someone says, I worked as a busser at the age of 15. I was told I had to go clean the bathroom immediately. I went to check. There was solid waste all over the seat in the toilet. I cried and then I quit. Good for you. Well done, sir or madam. It's exactly the right way to proceed.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I'm sorry. Has the mugshot been been updated?
So,
all right, I'll get that.
So Drizia is the Walmart guy.
We'll get that posted here in just a second. You'll be able to see this, by the way, at rickemerson.com/pictures, visual aids for August 10th.
Let us do our entertainment news.
Let us away to the entertainment news desk here at Legion of News. Let me get these mugshots out of the way. Here's your entertainment news for Wednesday, right here at Legion of News. Here's Don Taylor.
Kiss lead singer guitarist Paul Stanley and his wife Erin, an attorney, welcomed their daughter Emily Grace Stanley on Tuesday in Los Angeles. Emily, who weighed in at 7 pounds 10 ounces, joins elder siblings Sarah Brianna, who is 2.5, Colin Michael, 4.5, and Evan Shane, 17, Stanley's son from a previous relationship. Erin and I are once again blessed with the addition of Emily Grace to our family. The rocker, 59, says, I'm not sure she can sing, but her first screams let me know she's definitely daddy's girl.
Is that actually what he said?
Yes.
All right.
Stanley,
awesome.
Who is also a successful painter, just completed a series of sold-out Kiss dates and is currently producing the band's next album. Also, he's starting to get kind of scary looking.
Well, let's be honest. It's like nobody in the band Kiss good looking. There's a reason you obliterate your features with grease paint.
I put a photo in the Dropbox, mostly for you.
That's awesome.
Of him.
Him like touching his wife's engorged pregnancy belly. Look at this! I wonder if he does all that stuff. See, this is. I really ought to just bag this whole stupid radio thing and just go. Is Mad TV still on?
I don't think so.
What hack work has replaced Mad TV? Where do bad comedy writers go now?
Wow.
Where would a bad sketch comedy writer land? Presumably the internet somewhere, but I mean, maybe beyond that. Is there a...
I would say the web.
All right,
it
would
have
to be
the web.
I mean, because that's exactly... I mean, that's a sketch that writes itself, right? Where it's Paul Stanley in the delivery room.
Yes.
You know, and then you work in the pun about, you know, the birth of yet another star child. And then whatever. And then he just does, you know, so...
Well,
and then they slap the baby, you know, when the whole thing of like the baby's born and then they give it a whack, you know, so it screams so it, you know, can breathe. And then like the first time, of course, the baby wouldn't respond and he'd do a whole, I can't hear ya! You know, and then they'd have to smack it harder.
And then when the baby does finally cry, it just kind of goes, wah!
Oh, yeah.
Well, as for having kids later in life, Stanley said his age doesn't slow him down. In February, he told People magazine, I may be 59, but the only rocking chair this rocker is getting ready for is the one for my new baby.
Oh, my God. I love Paul Stanley. He's so retarded. He's just, I mean, and I'm looking at this this photo here, and he has very intense features at this point. The thing is with the guys in Kiss especially, I mean, it's like you just can't tell. what's real and what's fake and what's drawn on and what's like, what's their actual facial structure, but what's like, what's left over from the last concert they did. So he, it's like at some point he and Cher are going to be completely overlapping Venn diagrams, though. God damn. That's wonderful. I'm going to play some Paul Stanley stuff between the two shows.
Okay. You should have some sound for this next story.
Oh, this is the Hulk stuff?
This is for
Hulk Hogan. I got that.
Hulk Hogan joined Richard Bacon on BBC Radio 5 today, and a nation in turmoil gathered around the wireless to hear whether his four demandments will help stop the violence. Here, Hulk makes it clear that he's available to help our friends across the pond at a moment's notice.
I don't understand.
Hulk Hogan... There's a fellow named Richard Bacon, and he has a BBC radio show.
And he was talking to Hulk Hogan.
For some reason, he talked to Hulk Hogan.
About how to stop the...
Via satellite from Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
And
Hulk had advice.
Well, yes. Hulk had this to say about the violence in London.
No, you didn't keep me waiting. I was really interested in hearing what you had to say, because it sounds like Bacon Mania has a full plate, brother. You know, after I heard what's going on in the streets, man, I just feel like maybe Hulk should run over there, start dropping legs, hitting people with big boots, and just stop the action.
Naturally, the Twitterverse was abuzz as Britain begged Hulk Hogan to step in.
I mentioned on Twitter that you were coming on the show. Never have I received so many questions for one guest. And a lot of people said, this is Rob Curry 7 on Twitter, sent in a variation of this. Can you ask Hulk to go out in London tonight and crack a few skulls?
Well, brother, I was reading the Twitter pages, and you, as soon as you shot the first round, brother, everybody reacted. Everybody wants the kids to get back on track. You know, it doesn't really matter if Hulk Hogan's over there bodies and all the youth, you know, like I did Andre the Giant. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to grab these kids, you know, just regroup. Look at yourself in the mirror. Is this what you want the mirror image of your life to be? Is this what you want your destiny to be? I mean, now it's time to change directions, even, you know, if the state has to step in.
There are times that even I don't understand what's going on in stories like this. And I have a somewhat angular way of looking at the world, I'll be the first to admit. Was this like, do you suppose it was like a satellite mix-up where Lily Tomlin's in the back room and she plugged the wrong thing into the wrong, and he was waiting for like Gordon Brown or somebody to come on, and instead he got Hulk Hogan? And he just went with it?
Yeah,
he's like, I'm a professional. I will do the interview as scheduled.
I have no idea. I honest to God have no idea. I just stumbled across this morning, and it was just brilliant. So anyway, on the whole issue, here's a final word from Mr. Hogan.
You know, and really focus on getting these kids back on track, brother. But you know what? I will do anything because I love my UK Hulkamaniacs, brother. Okay.
Well, okay.
He will do anything he can to help with this. By the way, do you know what the four demandments are?
No, see, that was the thing that threw me off there. I didn't know what that was.
Oh, that's something that Hulk came up with at one point. Soon after the Hulkamania thing started, he started telling his little Hulkamaniacs that they should follow his...
Oh, like stay in school?
Right. First, they were the three demandments. Then he added a fourth
demandment
one.
Is a pretty great word. Yeah. I gotta give him points for coming up with that.
The demandments are training, saying your prayers, taking your vitamins... And the fourth demandment is believing in yourself.
Okay. Somebody has noted that Hulk should be on the side of the rioters. What's more American than exploding and fighting back against the establishment and their oppression? Sounds like Hulk has become Brother Hogan, Comrade Hogan, fighting on the side of communism.
Alec Baldwin says he's thinking of running for mayor of New York.
I'm sorry, I have to say that. Apparently, humping girls who look like your daughter is number 5 on the list. I'm sorry. Yes, Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin says he's thinking of running for mayor of New York, but not until he learns more about the job. The actor told the New York Times that he'll sit out the 2013 race, but will consider running in a later election. In a wide-ranging interview, the 53-year-old says he's talking with two universities about enrolling in a master's program in politics and government. He says he wants to better understand what the fiscal imperatives of the mayor's job are. He says running in 2013 is impossible because he's obligated to complete the current season of 30 Rock. He also says he plans to establish a permanent city residence before running. His legal residence is Amagansett, Long Island, although he has owned a Manhattan apartment for 2 decades.
That's one of those things that celebrities say, and then they don't realize it'll never happen. If for no other reason than this, if he were to run for mayor, that means that then NBC would have to, they would be legally not conjoined. Isn't it conjoined when you're like when you're joint, like you have two? It's like the guy with two bodies and one butt, or
right,
something.
Right. When you're attached to your twin by your head,
you would conjoined. Be. They would be restrained.
End-joined.
The end joined. Yes. There you go. Enjoined, isn't it? That's a different thing.
You're enjoined to do something. You're conjoined to something.
What is it when you're? What is it when you have to not do something though? There's restrained, but it seems like there's an enjoined word that is like restrained or stopped. Anyway, the thing is, if he were to run for mayor, NBC wouldn't be able to air episodes of 30 Rock anywhere inside the voting area. Not a new episodes, not in reruns, not in syndication. They would have to yank 30 Rock from anywhere that any voter in that election could conceivably see the show. And so this is the moment when Ned Beatty gets him in a small room and shuts the curtains and tells him that he's meddled with the primal forces and he will atone.
Yes. Wow. The Kardashian sisters, Kim, Kourtney, and Khloe, are making their fiction debut with their upcoming novel, which I'm sure they wrote now, all by themselves.
I think one of them already
Dollhouse.
Has a novel out. No, that's Paris Hilton. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The work, which arrives in bookstores November 1st, follows the glitzy and glamorous day-by-day happenings of a family in the spotlight. Kim wrote on her blog, "The novel is based on our lives, but we've added a lot of crazy fictional twists and turns. You'll have to decide for yourself which storylines are true to life and which ones we dreamed up."
There's this one talentless girl that likes guys to pee on her. It's something that could never happen in reality.
Stories like this make me just want to put my head in an oven. I swear, there are just sometimes I hear read something like this, and it just makes me wonder why I bother to just get up in the morning and deal with my life day to day.
Really, it's the Kardashians that have brought you to that point.
Your husband's a novel.
Your husband's basically half plastic at this point.
A published novel.
Okay. I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of things,
I know.
Seems like that affects you not at all.
But, you know, there are just things where you just, you know what it's like. You have those moments where it's just one more thing that just makes you just angry. Rebecca Black was getting made fun of at school so much after Friday came out that her mother decided to pull her out of school and began homeschooling her. Black told ABC News that students were constantly targeting, explaining, "When I walk by, they'll start singing Friday in a really nasally voice. Or, you know, they'll be like, 'Oh, hey, Rebecca, guess what day it is?'" Black's mom told ABC the move will also help the 14-year-old focus on her career.
See, if she was really going to help her daughter do the right thing, what she should do is just encourage her daughter to go to school and just withstand the abuse and just keep a long, long, detailed list of all those who have wronged her. And then once she, because she's what, 14, 15?
Yeah, 14.
And so then once she hits 18 and that money becomes hers, then she can just have them eliminated. That's exactly what I would do.
Like, kids were singing her song at her in a really nasally voice.
Yes, because
she found that offensive.
Lord knows nobody wants to hear that song in a nasal voice.
No.
That's right.
Actor Kiowa Gordon, is that how you pronounce his name?
Sure.
Kiowa? I don't know.
Realize I don't know who we're talking about because I don't know the name because you pronounced it correctly.
He's in Twilight. And he also has a stupid name. Kiowa. Anyway, he plays the shape-shifting werewolf Embry Call in the Twilight movies. However you pronounce his name, he was arrested in Tempe, Arizona early Monday morning. He was not busted for a DUI, as was originally reported by local media, but rather he was arrested for an active warrant stemming from a drug paraphernalia possession arrest in 2010.
Let me ask you this, Don. Right now, if somebody in this room were to need a little bit of cheering, who would that be, do you suppose? Do you suppose that would be might that be on the other
Maybe
side of the
me.
Table? All right.
Are you going to be a sleaze stack
for
me?
How's everything going over there?
Okay. It's all right.
Your irritation over the Kardashians seems disproportionate.
Just was doing fine until the Kardashians.
That's not true.
No, I was.
No, you really... I think if we polled the audience, they'd come down the other side of that assessment.
I think I've had a lovely time up to that point today.
I'm just saying, it seems like the Kardashian story isn't enough in and of itself to have pushed you over the edge.
I don't know. The Kardashians do have the power to...
It seems like that is the final Tetris block on a big teetering stack of crazy.
There might be a little crazy going on.
Okay.
Might be. I'm a professional, though, and I do my job.
Okay.
Just fine.
All right.
Anyway,
I didn't mean to imply that you were going crazy,
no,
by the way.
No, not much. Anyway, the Twilight kid got arrested. Routine registration check. They discovered that there was an active warrant for him stemming from this drug paraphernalia thing, and they took him into custody and booked him into jail. He was originally, back in 2010, popped for carrying a glass marijuana pipe and for being in possession of alcohol while he was underage. The alcohol in question was Four Loko.
Excellent. And on that note, we'll do this, which is end this episode of Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. It has been Wednesday, August 10th, 2011's episode of Legion of News.
That's
coming up next hour.
Puppet.
Uh-huh. The Rick Emerson. Okay. Just occupy yourself over there anyway. That seems nonviolent. Rick Emerson radio program is next at rickemersonshow.com. We will see you again tomorrow for another episode of Legion of News. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon, at the news desk, Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. As always, we thank you for listening and have a safe and satisfying Wednesday. Won't you please? We will see you again tomorrow for Legion of News.